Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You can find the show in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are in the most efficient way to get the show by entering Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine. So go ahead, jump right into the kickboxing action. Of course, a lot of you guys know that I work in talent ops for Glory Kickboxing. So I was there in Miami live for this event, very successful event. We had a good turnout. Some of the MMA stars, you know, came through to watch the event. It just was, you know, good fights throughout. And in the end, you know, when you watch something in the crowd, you want to be like, man, that was a scene, that was the thing to be at, that was great entertainment. And that's what I want people to realize about kickboxing. It is such an entertaining combat sports product that when you're there and you see it at its best, it's just, there's nothing like it. So it really is enjoyable. So I'm going to go ahead and go from the bottom up, switch. I was going to go top down, I'll go bottom up. Ross Levine gets a victory over Sean Choice. Ross has got an interesting style because he has a huge, you know, karate background, and he's got a very good resume there as far as what he's done in ISKA, what he's done in, you know, nationally and internationally. He goes against Sean Choice. Sean Choice has got more of a classic Muay Thai style. He's fought in MMA. He's kind of done a little bit of everything. He started off his career a little bit too big because he took a short notice fight against a much bigger Dustin Jacoby. After that, moved down a weight class, had some success. You know, he came off two wins in Glory, and he came in going against Ross, and Ross's movement kept Sean from getting into his game a little bit. Ross came right at him right off the jump. Like they, Ross said after the fight, the game plan was Sean Choice kind of has a Thai style, so I wanted to jump on him before he could get into his rhythm. So it was, you know, the first 30 seconds, 40 seconds wasn't the most beautiful thing. But after that, he, you know, got into movement, started playing with some of his boxing tools, started playing with his kicks. Sean Choice had some moments, too, with the body kick. Not as much offense as he would like to get off, I'm sure. The cards were 29-28 and 30-27 twice. You know, both guys made solid accounts for themselves. Levine is a little disappointed because he said he won by KO in the first fight. And he felt like, you know, a lot of people are always expecting that. But again, when you go against high-level guys, they're not just going to, you know, lay down for you. You got to land the right kind of shot. Ross was working hard. He had a good hard-fought victory. Sean Choice working hard. Wasn't able to get the win, but he'll be back. Nick Chastain put on a very solid performance against Kimon Diop. All the cards had a 30-27, but Kimon really had a solid third round. I thought he came out very aggressive with his combinations and his kicks and his kick returning. Nick Chastain from the opening bell was aggressive with the low kick. You know, he has good combination in low kicks. He plays with his boxing and spots. He just, in his last two outings, he's just looked so confident. So Nick goes out there after clean kickboxing, after good movement, after good, offensive scores consistently throughout the fight. He put up a really good first and second. And Kimon was only getting the singles, and sometimes a double. But in the last round, I thought that he did a good job with his pressure and really opening up his offense. Good stuff. Both guys showed that they got skill, and we'll be, you know, seeing more of them down the road. But definitely good fight. Aline Pereira, sister of champion Alex Vieira, came out and put on a solid performance against Chamonix. Chamonix is an interesting style because she's all about the switch kick. You know, she wants to get the switch kick going. I thought she got into her offensive flow pretty good in the first round after a lot of, you know, hesitation. Both girls were slow to let it go. But I think Aline had made up her mind in several moments in the fight that she was just going to throw. So she would square up, get Chamonix where she wanted, come at her, let the hands go, and then score offense or score shots until a clinch was formed. When Chamonix got to the clinch, she actually was decently active. The way that she was playing with the clinch was a little bit different. It wasn't like you'll see later with Charles Rodriguez, who kind of got the full plum that you see in MMA. You'll hear the term full plum, but basically just, you know, double forearms to the necks, and then a clinch gable grip almost style behind the neck. And it wasn't like that. She, you know, because she's from Thailand, they know how to hold position and generate from different spots. So she had the kind of, you know, almost a cross hold, if you will. One arm over the neck, the other arm under the armpit or underhook, and then those were crossed. And she put the head in the shoulder, and then she would dig the knees in a circular motion or in a straight motion from that angle on the side. The judges didn't give her credit for it because it did kind of come in a period that looked kind of like a lull. So it didn't look as active as what you saw from Rodriguez later. So the ref was a little bit quicker to step in and say, hey, let's not, you know, not this technique or you know, stop the holding. So Aline gets the victory. She is very, very excited to have her first glory, you know, win. It'll be fun having her in the mix. Chamonix, one of the happiest people I've ever seen with hematoma on her head. They had a clash of heads, and she had, like, a small hematoma that kind of got bigger. They did a good job of keeping that, you know, low. It didn't, like, burst or anything during the fight. But just she just seemed so happy to be there. I just like having Chamonix and Glory. So back to the drawing board. Other opportunities will come for both ladies. Amari Boyd put on one of his better Glory performances against Charles Rodriguez. Boyd's interesting because there are times when he's super clean and technical, and then there are times where he just goes straight and just lets it go, throws heavy shots. Charles Rodriguez, opposite. He is never a guy who really just lets it go and goes straight. He's at his best when he's got his consistent low kicks going, which he had moments in this fight, and when he's able to close the distance. Boyd was able to score shots. Boyd scored a knockdown in the second round, and the interesting thing was Rodriguez had his glove up. Like, you know, Boyd hit the glove, but the balance wasn't there. So they scored a knockdown. Charles Rodriguez game throughout, entertaining fight. Amari Boyd probably threw the most offense that I think I've seen him throw since he's been in Glory. So solid win for Boyd. He moves forward. Charles Rodriguez, always the showman. Everyone loved his walkout. Always humble online after fights. He's just a good guy to have in combat sports in general. So good to see him in Glory. Good showing there. Next fight, Abraham Vidalis put on a very, very smooth kickboxing performance against Justin Greskiewicz. Abraham Vidalis is one of these skilled young, you know, kickboxers who should be making a name for themselves for a very, very long time. Very clean with his combos. He can play a combination of low kick game and a combination of body kick game. His boxing is smooth. He's got good knees when he closes the distance. He scored to the body extremely well. The story about this fight for Justin was just the mentality to just keep babbling on. And I would make the argument that even though Justin lost by stoppage in his last two Glory outings, in those fights, he, maybe some of it probably weight cut, because he definitely had a much better weight cut on this one. But when he was hit in his body before, he wasn't able to get out in the first round. He wasn't able to go. And he went down. And I think a lot of people were thinking, okay, he's going to get stopped in the first. But something in him mentally was like, no, it's time to battle. And he had some good moments when he let his offense go clean. Vidalis was just, you know, a better guy in the night. But I do like how Justin battled back. He got up every time he went down. It finally went to the fourth, and they actually were going to let him continue. But the four knockdown rule overall is a automatic TKO in Glory. So after it happened, the ref was stepped in, four knockdown rule. Justin did get up, would have kept going. He was all heart. But Abraham Vidalis, you know, was the victor on this day. Super talent. He has won all of his Glory outings. He's won three of them by stoppage. He'll move forward, and we'll see big things from him. Justin, definitely a game guy who's always fought the best. Justin, you know, a guy who's got one of the best, if not the best, overall resume in kickboxing and Muay Thai in terms of just activity. So people have better resumes, people have better wins, but as far as how many guys have gone out there and fought and competed against high-level guys consistently, Justin's that dude, you know. So shout-out to Justin. Matt Baker gets a victory over Ivan Galaz, and probably what was my favorite fight of the night. Matt Baker goes out there, and within 30, 45 seconds of the fight, Ivan Galaz landed a smooth spinning back fist, scores clean on Baker. Baker goes down. Baker sat down, collected himself. It's the thing that you want everyone to do, but you rarely see it. But when Baker went down, there was a moment where he's like, okay, I got caught, I went down, you know. And I think he said it was the first time he was ever dropped, to the best of my memory, it's the first time he was ever dropped. So then he got back up and he went back to work. So after this, and you can make an argument, you know, for who you had after three rounds. But Baker came back with some clean combinations with both the boxing and the low kicks. He was not gun-shy after going down. Galaz answered in kind with big offensive shots as well, big combos and kicks. Definitely was throwing some good, strong heat. He just kept battling. And when they went to an extra round, shout out to Tim Hughes, the announcer, because a lot of people don't know that Glory has the extra round if it's a draw. In particular in America, because in MMA we're not used to that, and in boxing you don't see that. So Hughes, the announcer, did a great job of saying, you know, when we've got a majority draw, and he paused and he let the crowd kind of simmer on it a little bit, and then, he said, and we have a split draw, and he let the crowd simmer, he goes, but in Glory rules, we go, you know, one more round, and the crowd went wild. Hughes just did a really good job of, you know, playing the drama in that moment. That last round, Baker was able to get a few more significant shots with the boxing. He came all the way back from the knockdown to get the W. Really good stuff for Matt Baker. And it's that moment that as a coach, you think about and you break down and you say, we want our fighters to have that adversity at some period in their career and then bounce back in that way. And it does not always mean when you get up off that mat that you're going to win. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, Justin Gretzkowicz, when he got up off the mat, he didn't get the win. But the thing is, it's about the fight. Like, it's about getting back in there. It's about continuing to compete. It's about saying, I want this so much that I can't go down right now. So shout out to Matt Baker, who got up, battled back, got his win. Tiffany Von Seuss goes against JD Menezes, and she gets a 30-27. Tiffany was on form. You know, JD is available for her. You know, not the biggest mover. So when Tiffany let her strong boxing go and her low kicks go and her teeth to the face, when she let her clean offense go, she looked spectacular. And it's one of those fights where I keep forgetting how talented Tiffany Von Seuss is. She really is a skilled girl. And I've always known it, but sometimes the fights that she has, if she goes against Anissa Mexen, that's a much tougher person to look good doing those things against. And then when she went against Sophia Olsen, same thing. Tough girl to try to play that type of game against. So when she got to here with JD, she landed most of her significant shots. She was able to move and score and just really, really look good. Hurt JD to the body with some knees a couple of times. JD, it's the best I've seen her look. She's had it as tough as can be since she's been in Glory. Nothing but three times she goes against Anissa Mexen, one time against Tiffany Von Seuss. But man, she showed so much skill in this one. She had this skip low kick return. So after a combo was over with, she would attack Tiffany with the low kick. I thought that her boxing was good in spots. I thought that her pressure was always good. And before, I thought that she just kind of threw kill shots the whole round. This time, I thought that she was a collection of looking for her big shots and then also looking for clean kickboxing. So really, really solid, entertaining fight by both ladies. Really good outing by Tiffany Von Seuss. And JD really did a good job of showing improvement even in defeat. Josh Chauncey gets victory over LaWant T. Nelson, LT Nelson. Fun fight. Fun to watch. I thought that Chauncey got out, got his kickboxing and his movement clean. LT Nelson, always a little bit of a slow starter. He can score, but man, does he turn it on late, which is what you'll see here. Josh Chauncey goes out there, gets better offensive scores in the kickboxing in the first round. And then we go into round two, and in round two, Chauncey does the slickest left inside a leg sweep to knock Nelson off balance, follows it with a big right knee up to the face, a chin, scoring the knockdown. Nelson, same thing. Same thing we saw from Baker. Collected himself. Good shot. Collected himself. When they got to his feet, you could see that he was still alive. And Chauncey knew that he was still alive. So Chauncey continued to move and score. The LT, now realizing that he was down, forced the action. Moved forward. Looked for strong shots. In round three, here comes Nelson. Chauncey's backing up. Nelson's walking him down, throwing consistent boxing. He'd have a low kick here and there, but for the most part, he was all over him with the boxing, looking to score a big knockdown, looking to score a big shot. They got to the final bell. The all cards read 29-27. I was good with that. You know, some people wondered if he battled back enough to make that second round. not a 10-8. I did not see it that way. I thought that that was, you know, entertainment-wise, a great fight. And I thought that LT battled back, but it was tough for him to overcome that knockdown after the second round. And then in the third round, he had a lot of success. But really, really good fight. Good job by both guys. Can't wait to see both guys compete again. Richard Abraham goes against Mike Lemaire. Tough one to call. Fight was a little bit, you know, wasn't as clean. You know, Richard Abraham, you know how he gets down. He's going to close the distance. He's going to look for his big shots over the top. He looks for low kicks in space. Mike Lemaire, he had a pretty solid low kick game going on here. Was able to score with his, you know, boxing for maybe single shots. Never really landed a lot of shots together, but he was consistent on the low kick. When they went to the scorecards, man, it just kind of depends on the angle that you were in the ring, you know, and sometimes that's kind of how the decisions come down. You know, I'll go ahead and leave this decision alone as far as my personal view on it, but, you know, there's a 27-30 in favor of Lemaire. I could see that, and there was 29-28, and there were some rounds that were ugly that could have, you know, you never know, and they could have seen it either way. One guy can see a shot land, one guy can't see it. I can see how there's probably some difficulties in this one. Richard Abraham gets the victory. He's now won both of his glory fights this year, and he's going to go on, continue to march forward. Next fight is Troy Jones as he goes against Amari Diedrich. 3 knockdown rule. Now round 1 gives to Troy Jones. Troy Jones, I am extremely high on. He is the first person that I signed when I got the job in glory. He is extremely talented, very athletic. One of the things that helped him is he was a scholarship football player, you know, so he has a... American football players are extremely good athletes as soon as you get to the college level at any skill position. So he played defensive back, and he was a very good guy. You know, he had the opportunity to get the international look because he went to IFMA. So that gave him a chance to fight in the different places, you know, all over the world and fight different opposition. Amari Diedrich had a very good outing his first glory fight. He comes in here against Jones, and, you know, sometimes it's just not your night, and the right shot scores, and you're in trouble. And I thought that Diedrich was game. He was right there. They were exchanging combinations and kicks. Jones probably taking the lead a little bit as far as the scorecard goes. And then all of a sudden, when Amari's behind his earmuffs, Jones goes under behind the elbow, scores a shot to the body, and that's the beginning of the end. Amari goes down from there. 2 more knockdowns, including a jumping knee in the final knockdown to give the win to Jones. Diedrich will be fine. You know, he's got a good, entertaining kickboxing style. But in this game, you can't predict what shot lands where. And he took a shot, went down, wasn't able to recover from it. Humble in defeat. Said camp was good. Everything was good. Preparation was good. Just got hit with the right kind of shot. So Diedrich's fine. We'll see him compete down the road. And Troy Jones, very, very, very good outing. We're excited to see Jones move forward and enter that title picture down the road. Ace Tim Powell gets a victory over Bailey Sugden, 30-28. This one had some controversy for some people on the cards. Bailey's got this interesting style where he will put a string of offensive combos together, and then he'll put a long low kick on the end of it, and the shots don't necessarily all score in a devastating fashion, because Sugden's kind of a smaller guy, but he'll put him out there, and then he'll put the low kicks in. I thought Aces started off the round with a good, solid, single low kick game. Didn't box as much. Looked for the low kicks. I thought that there were some, you know, toss-up rounds in there for sure that could have gone either way. It was a close call. Ace is a kid from Miami, kid from Florida, gets the victory in Miami. Sugden, he'll be back. Clearly disappointed, you know, thought they had the W. Tougher year as far as the scorecards for him, because he really has been battling, and just whether it's angle or whatever it is, a card hasn't gone in his way, and he hasn't been able to get that victory in the last two. But he really is a talented young man, and he really has a future in kickboxing for a long time. I just expect more from him. Like, I expect him to continue to do more, do good things. I expect you've not seen, you know, the end of him as a contender just because he's run into a couple losses. This kid is good, and he's got a good chin, and he puts good combos together, and he just keeps battling. He goes down and gets back up, and he just keeps battling. So we'll see more from Sugden. As for Asa, you know, a lot of options for him as he pushes forward and enters into the, you know, the title picture as well, you know, as a fighter, and good stuff for him. And a second win in Florida, and he's having quite the year in glory. So three wins in a row for him here, and undefeated in his glory run so far. So good job. We then go to the main event, which is Alex Pereira. He goes against Danagi Abenya, and third round KO for Alex. Here's the thing about this fight. Abenya really did have a good game plan, and a lot of people didn't catch it. And I remember I was trying to explain to people his game plan wasn't bad, but all they remembered was the KO, because I keep forgetting that I'm talking from, you know, a coaching perspective, and they're just talking kind of from a fan, this is what I saw with my eyes kind of, you know, I saw a KO, so whatever he's doing didn't work. So what, you know, Mike and Danagi were working is they really focus on body rips, and they were focused on it. So Alex would throw a body kick, and he'd counter with the left hook to the body. And then he'd close the distance, and he'd throw a straight shot to the body. And he kept working on the body shot. Meanwhile, Alex was playing with the low kick, playing with the heel low kick, playing with the boxing and the step knees. He's such an aggressive guy. He was definitely winning the rounds early, and he was looking to sit on his heavy shots. He was putting away the rounds after one and two, but Abenya was putting in the investment to take over 3, 4, 5. When you got to the third round, early, I could see it. I could see that Alex was breathing a little bit deeper. I could see that Abenya was in good shape, and he was coming on. The problem is, when you have an all-time great world-class, you know, finisher, you know, one of the all-time great finishers of me watching kickboxing, someone who just has the mentality to turn it up and get someone out of there no matter where they are in the fight, when you have that in front of you, even if you've done great work to fatigue them, they can still find their opportunity. And Alex, I felt like there was a period of time where it was almost like a last stand type of offense he was putting together. He's like, okay, I'm tired, but I'm just going to let these things go. And as he's doing it, he's breathing deep after every shot. All of a sudden, he puts together a stream of offense. Abenya backs up, and Abenya, who's been fighting at light heavyweight, looked so much smaller than Alex, who was fighting, you know, and still will fight at middleweight. But because of his height and because of the way his muscle filled at that weight class, he just looked like a monster in there next to Abenya. So he put together a series of offense, and in it, when Abenya was back to the ropes, he put together he slid in a high knee, and the knee scored, had Abenya in trouble, some boxing scored, Abenya goes down. Abenya, when he got up, a little bit different than Baker, and maybe because he felt it was his last dance, a little bit different than what we saw from Baker, what we saw from LT, he got up and he just started banging. Like he was like, let me throw, let me try to find something. Alex knows that he's hurt, looks for his opportunity, left hook scores, big time KO. Big time KO. After that, Abenya was, they, you know, took him to the hospital for precaution. He was all right. They brought him back to the hotel later that night, so he was good. I saw him at breakfast the next day, but he really did. It reminded me of Dylan Salvador when he fought Sedichai, where the whole game plan was to go for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to leave it out there. He tried to work the body. Alex, you know, was tired, but he still scored, had him in shape. At that period of time, Abenya's like, it's just time to fight. I'm down two rounds. Got a knockdown in the third. Something in him was like, going back to a clean game plan ain't probably going to work. My only chance is I've got to land something big, and he went for it. And that's what I want. I want people to – I want to see a sense of urgency to win fights as opposed to a sense of urgency to win rounds. And you see that in combat sports all the time. I don't care what your combat sport is, boxing, kickboxing, MMA. You will see people who are down, and they know that they're going to lose if they don't get a stoppage, but nothing in their offense tries to get a stoppage. Abenya, excuse me, had a hiccup. Abenya, knowing that he was down, knowing that he had lost earlier rounds, got up. Probably just something in him was like, you know what? I'm just going to fight. And, of course, it left him open. Alex, who also down to fight whoever, found his big KO shot, gets the victory, becomes your interim light heavyweight title. He will be waiting for Vakadov to return from his hand injury. And we're just always excited about anything Alex fights. When I see a card here in the States and I see that Alex is going to be on that card, I feel like I've won. I'm always excited to see this dude. This dude is really, really good. So shout out to him. Shout out to the Glory card. Great job. Great venue. Great entertainment. Love working with the people that I work with. And I really, really enjoyed myself on this one. So for those of you who are ever considering watching a high-level kickboxing, MMA, Muay Thai, whatever, go check out Glory Event. You got to put that on your wish list, so for sure. Another news, we had a WKU World Championship bout. Daniel Young gets a victory over Brian Dells. Shout out to Daniel, you know, trying to stay active, keep competing. He really can fight. He's a talented guy. I'm glad that he's out there competing and making money and doing well for himself. He's good for sure. Gonna go ahead and go into a card that was passed to me. I knew about it. I just didn't have the full card. But Yod Muay Thai Nakamatam, October 5th in Buriram. That was sent to me. It'll be on Channel 24 in Thailand. It's got some notable names that I've talked about in this podcast. So I'm just going to go ahead and run down the card. Q Payak, Jit Mung Naun goes against Char Lam Poran Chai. Gunnar PK Sentai Jim goes against Super Lek Kit Moon 9. Super Lek, of course, we've talked about on a show for years and years. Very, very talented guy. Always fun to see him on the card. I'm going to go ahead and save that main event for last. But the way this is slotted, the main event, it's kind of in the middle of the card. The first two fights were kind of the lockout bout. The opener is Wanchalong, PK Sinchan Jim against Pech Pusang Killsport. Muang Thai, of course, we love Muang Thai on this show. We talk about it all the time. He goes against Shadow Sanaharn Pick May. Messed that one up. Sanaharn Pick May. It's my first time, I think, ever mentioning that, Jim. So shout out to Shadow. If you are a great fighter and you come from that gym and I've just been missing you all this time, my apologies. But to the best of my knowledge, on this show, I don't think I've ever said this name before. It literally looks like Sanaharn Pick My. So hopefully I'll see more from the gym down the road. And I love that the cat's name is Shadow. That is an awesome, awesome name. But he goes against Muang Thai. And of course, Muang Thai was my fighter of the year in Thailand for like 2 years in a row. He brings that violence. This kid ain't playing. You know, he's an aggressive dude. And whether he's fighting here and one, he's a fun guy to watch. Sakim get fight against Runkit. I think that this is another solid one. I've talked about Sakim on the show before. Runkit also also very good. Sakim is from... Sorry, my notes went dumb. I'm looking at my notes off my phone. Sitsort Tortillo. And then Runkit is from Morset Kamala. Hey, did better on those two. So shout out to these guys. I've talked about Sakim before. And as you can note, I've only used just his first name because I mess him up. So the last one I'm going to talk about, not the main event, is Kalap Dam as he goes against Noang Len Lek of Jitmung Nan Jim. I've talked about Noang Len Lek several times in the show. Solid fighter. I think that it's overall a good card, made great by the main event. Sang Mani as he goes against Rafi Bohik. I'm a big Rafi fan. Talked about Rafi before. Rafi is not just a talented fighter. He's got the weirdest rhythm about him. What I mean by that is there are times where I'm like, he's just going to let this round go. And the next thing you know, there's some explosive action, and he wins by KO. He understands how to have success against the Thais. He understands how he can give up some spots or some offense in spots and still be able to come back and win the rounds. He's just an excellent fighter. And I'm all about Rafi fighting anyone. He has such a talent. Glad for him and this opportunity. Of course, Sang Mani, been talking about him for years. He is a talent and a fun guy to watch when he gets the right person in front of him. I won't say that I've been blown away by every Sang Mani fight, but I really like this matchup with Rafi, and I think that it's going to be a really good card and a really good fight. So next week is what would be on iTunes my 300th episode. And I'm going to put together an episode that I think is just for anybody. Anybody like you've never seen kickboxing before, I'm going to tell you like the 20 most important things that any kickboxing fan should know, should see. And then I think I'm going to have like a side list of 10 things that I wish happened over my time following in kickboxing. Just stuff like that. But I really want next week's episode to be focused on, if you've never seen the sport before, this is what it is. You know, this is what it is. This is what you'll watch. These are the recommendations. That's very important to me as a guy who's been in kickboxing and Muay Thai for a long time. I'm going to go ahead and just have a rundown of these are fights to have to watch, fighter you have to watch, this fight event, a list of 20 things that you just have to have. You have to have for your kickboxing library. And if you've got someone who's never been into it, I want you to give them the podcast next week. I want that one to be hopefully one of my most successful podcasts because it's one that I'm using to sell the sport. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank the kickboxers and Muay Thai fighters who, you know, put their lives on the line to pursue this wonderful sport, this wonderful and dangerous sport. Grateful for all of you. God bless and have a good one. Peace.